847-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And the champ is here.
Aww.
The champ is here. The champ is here.
You interviewed Gilbert Brown. I don't know if I count. My rugby national championship in 1997.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean the athletic champ. I mean the champ of the people. The dawn of resistance itself. Maggie Dawn has graced the airways once again. Good morning to you, my friend. How you doing?
I'm really well. I wake up every morning, every Wednesday morning, Earl, and I'm always... So it feels good to get out of bed because I know I get to come and see you here. So thank you for having me.
Well, listen, I enjoy, you know, having you here so much. People have no concept of why. And well, they do know when they get to hear you speak. But I was asking before we, you know, this last break about the fact that Donald Trump has a great chance of becoming the nominee again, Maggie. And I don't know how people could possibly, knowing this man and his baggage.
Yep.
What do people see?
Yeah, what's up with that? So I did want to take on the premise that the United States is somehow less safe under President Biden. And there was reference made to Russia and Ukraine and right. North Korea, as well as China. Well, let's look at why we're in the positions that we're in with all three of those nations. And the reason that things are at sort of this crucial tipping point is because Donald Trump knew nothing about foreign policy, knows nothing of any international history, and refused to become educated and thought that he was going to charm Russian leader, President Vladimir Putin, the leader of North Korea.
Kim Jong-un. And,
right, as well as...
And Xi.
Right, and Donald Trump is not charming. And he's certainly not someone who's going to out-sociopath three of history's most notable sociopaths. And, you know, one could also hypothesize that perhaps Putin has some comprobot. But, like, setting that aside, Putin felt emboldened to invade Ukraine because of the supplication, right? The prostrating that President Trump did before him. His failure to call out Putin has led us to this place, right? You look at North Korea. His, again, supplication, appeasement. We're not appeasers of authoritarians, except perhaps if you yourself aspire to be one, right? Perhaps President Trump had been asking them for their playbooks of authoritarianism. Remember, he has praised Putin. He's praised Kim Jong-un. He's praised Xi Jinping. So I'm confused by this assertion that we're less safe because there's a Democratic president. No, we're less safe because an idiot who knows nothing of global history or world history or even the history of these particular dictatorships and authoritarians decided that appeasement, butt-kissing, genuflection in front of these authoritarians was a good U.S. foreign policy. That's why we're there.
So are you telling me that is not what CJ says because Biden was weak?
Right. It's not about the balloon from last week. Yeah. Like, that was happening under Trump, too, right? Like, our radar wasn't attuned to catch these things. Now we are. It's sort of, I always wear my red raincoat when it rains. So when I wear my red raincoat, I cause it to rain sort of thing. Like, no.
So we've got callers on the line. Is CJ still there?
I mean,
yes,
let's be clear about what he does. He won't respond to anything that we ask or say.
You mean CJ?
Correct.
Right.
What he'll do is pivot to whatever nonsense sort of talking point that he thinks is sort of promoting the GOP agenda.
Short leash. CJ, you want to respond to anything Maggie had to say?
Yeah, well, she forgot to mention Afghanistan. Go figure. Because that disaster.
Well, you didn't mention
have to do with that.
Move. Putin moved after he watched the weakness of this president. So, Maggie,
you don't. My question to you, CJ, my question to you is, did Trump display American strength before Putin? Is that how you would characterize Trump's position towards?
Oh my God! What movie towards, are you watching, Maggie?
I live on planet Earth, CJ. I'm not sure you've joined me here. Did Donald Trump demonstrate a position of American strength and restraint and containment to Vladimir Putin? I'm asking you a question, CJ, and again, you do not answer.
So thank you very much for the call, CJ. I think next we got Tom from LA. Hey, Tom, what's going on? Thank you very much for the call. What do you say?
Well, first of all, I have to say once again that we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. CJ is on a totally different planet. And
well, he's not alone at 35,000. I mean, they're
35%. All you have to do is, first off, all you have to do is bow down and say how great Donald Trump is, and he'll give you everything you want. His banker, Russia, they outsmarted him by, just praising him, Russia, China, when he went over to those countries, all they had to do was kiss his butt.
Well, this is what I mean by psychological manipulation. I don't understand CJ's, he is trying to argue that Donald Trump, put forward a position of containment and strength vis-a-vis Russia and Putin, that's just not reality, right? And he mentioned Afghanistan.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Doesn't even answer the question.
Of course
he
not.
He doesn't even answer
of
the question
not.
In terms of what you actually asked about
of course
Donald
not.
Trump. About how bad Joe Biden is.
So it's not just CJ. Again, 35% of the American people agree with CJ.
I know. He's an example.
And
these people like
authoritarian
leaders.
Yep, I'll say this, Tom. When he mentions Afghanistan, I don't think anybody who is a foreign policy expert would ever put forward that was handled well. Right? That was... Miss Saigon-esque, a terrible humanitarian crisis. We've created a leadership vacuum. But again, to look at the most recent domino that falls in a chain of dominoes that goes back 40-some years, right, to when Russia was invading Afghanistan and the complexities of the Mideast, and to reduce it to this one decision, which I will say, I think most Americans were supportive of bringing the troops home. That was no longer viewed as a winnable or sustainable conflict. I don't think it was handled correctly by President Biden. And so I'll say to my friend CJ and the 35% that think just like him, see what I just did there? I'm capable of criticizing a president from my own party and pointing out things that were not done well, as well as applauding
Absolutely.
The things that are done well.
So Donald Trump was... Yep. He was going to pull the troops out himself. He was in the
Correct.
Process of doing it.
Correct.
Tom, thank you.
All I got to say is I wish Republicans out there would realize they are not the party of personal responsibility when their leader is not. They are not the party of not being victims because they're victim. They have the most victim person on the planet in Donald Trump. Just hear him, for God's sake. Listen to any of these Republicans. Woe is me. The media's after me.
Hey,
this
Tom,
me.
Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Who do we have up next, Calvin?
That is it for now.
Okay, all right. So let's from this perspective, Maggie, we've got a lot of other things we wanted to talk about.
Sure.
But for these last couple minutes before the break, Donald Trump can very easily win the nomination because there are going to be 12 or 13 other people who are going to be running, and 35% will be enough to get him to where he needs to be. So as inconceivable as we might believe it can be, there's a good chance.
And listen, I don't think anybody, whether you're part of the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, can look at how the parties themselves actually select candidates and go, oh, that's a fair and objective process. So, these conspiracy theorists about, steal the vote, That doesn't happen in the actual elections that are run by functional governments. Thanks much. That is the actual election process where you will see steal the vote and some shenanigans going on is when the Republican Party comes to selecting a candidate. I think one of the ways that does that Donald Trump doesn't become the candidate or the nominee, I should say, is if the party itself attempts to effectively change its rules or they're apply its rules differently.
They're too afraid to do that.
Well, it's interesting. I think if you had a binary choice, and your whole point, Earl, right, is that the primaries are not binary choices. And so that therein lies the rub. But if there was simply a straight up binary choice right now between Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump, you could potentially see DeSantis winning because he's effectively the thing that I have always warned about. When Trump announced his candidacy, I warned that Trump could win. Nobody believed me.
Right.
When DeSantis became this nascent, likely potential presidential candidate, I said, watch out, because this is the guy that I've always predicted. If you get a smart, cleaned up Donald Trump who doesn't say all of the stupid stuff out loud without half of the personal baggage, without half of the clearly visible economic self-interest, you've got a much more dangerous potential candidate.
Yeah, Maggie, I don't disagree with you that DeSantis is more dangerous.
Yes.
But
he's still got to beat DJT.
Yeah, that 35% when there's 13 people running. Don't forget the last time were 18 people running. And that's how Trump got in.
I mean, bravo, CJ. Keep telling everybody how great Donald Trump is. Hopefully that dip will win the nomination again because he's beatable.
I know. 844-967-2789. It's Wednesday and Dawn of Resistance is here. We'll be right back. So let's... All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with the champ, Maggie Dunn. And if you have not heard Maggie Dunn by now, shame on you. She is corporate counsel for Milwaukee County and my friend. And I'm so happy to have her as my friend. A fierce competitor, and you'll find that out if you haven't known it before. Maggie, in a few days, the preliminary for the state Supreme Court matches are going to be taking place in Judge Darrell.
Vote is, Dan Kelly.
Is the darling. She is the darling right now, and many people didn't know anything about Judge Darrell until the trial with the, I forgot the guy's name, who...
The Waukesha parade.
Christmas parade, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about Judge Darrell?
So, from...
And for people, again, you're the corporate counsel of Milwaukee County. I think you know your way around a little right, bit around right. Law.
So... There's a couple of things that I want to pick apart here for folks. The first one is this idea that Judge Darrell deserves some sort of praise for her handling of that guy's trial, right? And the fact that he was convicted and then ultimately sentenced to six life sentences. If you as a judge cannot preside over that man's trial and see to it that a jury is instructed properly and that the guy is convicted and sentenced to a period of time where he will never see the light of day again, you should not be on any bench. Right. Okay. Not a park bench either, because you can't handle that either. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not deserved of an incredible amount of praise. And in fact, for those that are lawyers and then have practiced criminal law, and I'm not a criminal lawyer, but I talk to a lot of criminal lawyers and have a lot of criminal lawyer friends, I actually think her handling of the case was potentially quite problematic. Now, none of his appeals will ever be completed before the election. But there's two things that happened in that case that potentially, I think, could be used in an appeal. And that is that he was removed from the courtroom. And under the Fourth Amendment, Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendment, but mostly the Fourth, we have a right to confront our witnesses and our accusers. And was that right sufficiently vitiated by him being remote, essentially? Now, there are statutes in Wisconsin that guarantee in-person hearings for people. And one of them are these sorts of murder trials. And did his being in this separate courtroom, and yes, it was the result of his terrible behavior, but did it comply with statute? Does it comply with the U.S. Constitution? If I was a lawyer working on his appeal, and listen, those that work in that sort of appellate practice, these toughest cases where the person is obviously guilty, as this gentleman is, those are the cases that sometimes are the ones that most test our principles as a democratic nation. So that's issue one. Issue two was that he was pro se, right? And his mental fitness to proceed as his own counsel and his behavior, which deteriorated and then kind of seesawed, these are fertile appellate grounds. So one, I don't think she deserves a darn bit of credit for getting a conviction of a guy that everybody watched kill people. Like, okay, yeah, duh. And two, by the way, I don't think you did all that great a job of it, handling a case of that level of difficulty, that much public attention. Three, so I don't think you're all that great at your job. Three, we now know, courtesy of Dan Bice, Southeastern Wisconsin's resident muckraker, that she's had some issues with sentencing herself. Four, okay, well, at least, you know, she has this impeccable personal life. Well, we also know, and thanks to your show, know a lot more on a personal level, that no, she doesn't. And I don't attribute her child's behavior to her, but she chose how to react to her child's drug dealing, and she has chosen to align herself with her drug dealing child and assist in covering up and defending that child's behavior that has resulted in a person dying, right? So, no, I don't think you deserve any credit for that, getting a conviction or overseeing a trial in which a conviction was obtained and life sentences were meted out. Two, I think you made some probably pretty serious errors that might, in fact, get some grist for the mill in appeals. And third, if you're going to run on your personal life, well, you're a defender of drug dealers that kill people. So, yeah, I think that basically disqualifies you from the Supreme Court. So let's look at Dan Kelly, right? And again, the reason that the GOP is pushing Judge Doro so hard is that they don't think Dan Kelly can beat either Everett Mitchell or Janet Protasiewicz because he's such a jerk.
Yeah,
he just
well, that's
is.
The
he
reason,
doesn't,
that's reason.
He doesn't play well on TV, radio, print ads, or face-to-face. This is not a guy that's built for campaigning.
But he also has a history as
sure
a
does.
Supreme Court
yes,
justice.
He does.
And we've seen him. And so there's a reason why he lost. How often do sitting Supreme Court justices lose their seats?
Very, very rarely. As an incumbent, to lose those seats, you have to be have some serious baggage. And clearly, I think we're there. We also, the difference between that election that Dan Kelly lost and where we are today is, of course, the Dobbs decision has come down. And so abortion is now front and center, as is the gerrymander. Which I think, again, anybody that lives here on planet Earth, sorry, CJ, would agree is basically unconstitutional in any meaningful sense of the word.
So we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. The dawn of resistance is here. We'll be right back. Show as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday at 9 o'clock, and that means Maggie Dawn, the Dawn of Resistance, Milwaukee's corporate counsel, is in the studio. Let's go to Jake from Eureka, California. Hey Jake, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call.
Hey, I'd just like to remind everybody how important next Tuesday's election is in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, this is gerrymandering on the ballot. If the liberal, you know, Democratic judges win, if one of them gets that seat, it'll be 4-3 in favor of liberals and Democrats, which will mean that would be an end to gerrymandering. That's extremely important for everybody nationally when it comes to the presidential election and to Congress. And for, you know, these two right-wingers, I mean, I'm sorry, there's no comparison. You got the two liberal Democrats, you know, the judges who both have excellent backgrounds.
Protasiewicz and Mitchell. In which I have Mitchell on tomorrow. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh, excellent. Fantastic. Yeah, he's an excellent, excellent person to interview. And, you know, he went to UW. You had Judge Janet went to Marquette, University Law School. Both excellent law schools. But then these two conservative Republicans, you know, you got Dan Kelly, please. I mean, he already failed on the court once. And then, you know, Judge Jennifer Doro, who's in some very disturbing, legal situation with her son currently. I think she's a little too busy to serve in the state Supreme Court. Both of them went to one of the worst law schools in America, Regent University Law School, Pat Robertson's, you know, law school, basically the legal equivalent of Trump University. That's what the Republican Party's offering to us. Two candidates who were both given their legal educations by Pat Robertson. That is ridiculous.
You know what, Jake? They should have had you make a commercial.
Yeah, where are the killer ads? I mean, Jake couldn't be any more right. So I want to put all the crumbs together, all the dots together, right, on why the gerrymandering matters. So right now, generally speaking, in this, there's some variation from election to election. The majority of people in Wisconsin vote for Democrats routinely. Okay. The only time that's not true is when Ron Johnson, who is losing by 10 points in the polls about a month and a half out, just has blanketed in the airways with racist ads about Mandela Barnes. By the way, Ron Johnson has paid way less in taxes than Mandela Barnes could ever not pay in total in his lifetime in taxes, right? But so when you get to the actual state legislature and both the assembly and the Senate, Republicans nearly have a veto-proof supermajority in both houses. So our state, let's just call it 50-50 split with a slight edge to Democrats. Why does our legislature not reflect that? It's no longer one person, one vote here. So why does that matter? Now we have election deniers, right? We have people in the state of Wisconsin that believe that the state legislature should be able to choose our electors for the presidential election. Yeah. So if we get rid of gerrymandering, we get rid of the nutbags in the state legislature, and that is no longer a problem. It returns power to the people in the state of Wisconsin, as our friend from Tom likes to remind us, that democracy is by the people and for the people, right? It returns us to a proper democratic state here in Wisconsin where the people will choose the electors for the presidency. As goes Wisconsin in nearly all of the recent presidential elections, whoever we pick is the candidate that ends up winning the presidency. So we will determine the presidency. So the presidency is on the ballot. What else is on the ballot when you talk about gerrymandering? The complete and utter defunding of the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, the economic heart and engine of the state. We will get there. I think David Crowley and Mayor Cavalier Johnson will get us there by being good, smart, pragmatic centrists that believe that all government is local and that local government isn't partisan. But we will guarantee appropriate and equitable funding of public schools and the city and county of Milwaukee if gerrymandering goes away, because then we will have a much more consensus-driven, both voices heard from the right and the left in our legislature. Last but certainly not least, Medicare expansion. Governor Walker has turned it down before. That will never be an issue again, and that will save Wisconsinites good tax-paying middle-class Wisconsinites billions over time and will protect us, will extend and get more health care coverage for Wisconsinites. Badger Care will remain fully funded. All of these things rise or fall with gerrymandering. I haven't even gotten to abortion and weed. So if you think that health care is a human right, you vote for either Janet Protasiewicz or Everett Mitchell in the primary, and then you vote for either one of them in the general. If you believe that marijuana should be available both recreationally and for medical purposes and taxed appropriately, you vote for Janet Protasiewicz or Everett Mitchell. These are basic things, simple things, that will make all Wisconsinites' lives better, except the richest of the richest 1%.
You know, Maggie, you laid it out so succinctly, because I've been around long enough to remember before Scott Walker and the Republicans, Shanghai, the state government.
Yeah, 2010 census.
Yeah.
Yep.
That our state, a lot of the things you just talked about, you know, the gerrymandering wasn't as severe.
Nope.
And so the votes mattered and things mattered. And some of us saw that major change that needs a correction. Right?
It does. We just need to correct back to normal. We don't want to overcorrect. I take on Democrats when they try to gerrymander the heck out of districts for their advantage, too. We have right now, again, a basically evenly divided state on a general population basis with a slight edge to Democrats in most elections. Our legislature should reflect that, for crying out loud. That's fair. All we want is fair maps. We want the people's voice to select our electors that choose the president of the United States. We want democracy return to our state, not continue to be robbed from us and then lied about by the likes of Robin Voss and Ron Johnson and the rest of their ilk.
Yeah, Jake, quickly.
Those Republicans are no fans of fairness or math. I mean, just look at Donald Trump and George W. Bush. These aren't the smartest guys out there, obviously. The most criminal, perhaps, but as far as intellect goes, they're seriously deficient.
Hey, Jake, man, thank you very much for the call, as always, man.
And if I can, and I appreciate Jake's perspective, but I want to distinguish between intelligence and ethics. Intelligence and using your understanding of the system to try to create more equitable and fair outcomes. I don't think that Robin Voss is an idiot. I don't think Donald Trump is an idiot. I think he's woefully ignorant about history and the order of things because he's only seen it from his gilded golden towers that he's lived in. But these are extremely smart people that are leading the Republican Party.
No question.
And they are pulling the wool over average Americans' eyes. No offense, CJ, but wake up, smell the coffee. That is the problem, that they are using the system to entrench themselves almost on an infinite basis in power. One of your guests last week, Earl, called this, and I love this, democratic autocracy, which means that the election has a predetermined outcome, that your votes don't matter. Now, I'll never say that. Keep showing up until we fix this mess. But if there was ever an election where your vote matters more, it is. I can't imagine one other than this election coming up for Supreme Court in Wisconsin. Let's destroy the democratic autocracy that has been created by Republicans in this state, and let's return the power to the people. Let's return democracy to Wisconsin.
Hear, 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 hear. So, Maggie, Governor Evers wants automatic voter registration, lacks of voting regulations in the new state budget. Hear,
amen.
Hear, hear,
yes.
Hear.
Only Republicans want fewer people to vote, and they now say that stuff out loud. And the reason that they want fewer people to vote, it's not fewer of their people to vote. They want fewer black people. They want fewer brown people, disabled people, older people, younger people, working people.
So, Maggie, why is it that when those of us who know what their deal is, right, we know why the Republicans have done the things that they've done. You don't have to be, you know,
yeah,
Maggie Dawn to understand why, and they keep doing these things. And when you claim to be a fair and righteous person yourself,
how do you defend it?
Yeah, this is what I've always said.
And please do not ever call up this show and talk to me about voter fraud. You will get verbally smacked, okay? It has never existed in any material way. When it has happened, it's mostly been by benign mistake, except for Republicans that are actually trying to demonstrate voter fraud.
So, Maggie, this is what I've never really understood, why this has been made such a big deal.
Because you can't talk about the real reasons, right? They have to create the straw man argument so that they can put in these regulations that make it harder for black, brown, and poor people to vote.
So, Maggie, we know that they don't have any factual proof on any of this.
Nope.
But then they say, well, I feel like.
Right. Feelings are facts.
Yeah, and we're responding to how somebody – when do we start responding – to how somebody feels.
Yeah, I'm a manager, a boss, a leader.
Yeah.
If somebody that works for me comes to me and there's a whole bunch of feelings, I let them talk at it for a while. And then I say to them as kindly as I can, feelings are facts, so what now?
Yes.
Right? What are your values? Tell me what your values are, and then let's figure out what it is that you want to do. To me, all of these people that talk all this nonsense and word games and buy into the straw man and pick up Fox News' talking points, what are your values that you're trying to express? So they'll say things like personal responsibility.
Yeah.
Great. Then let's let people be personally responsible and let people vote. Well, there's voter fraud. No, there's not. So why are you doing that? Well, we need to be secure in our elections. Elections actually are secure. But I heard that, well, from where? I mean, you get down the rabbit hole. So for me, it's always asking the questions and asking people, what are the values that you are trying to express in holding that position? And if you press hard enough and long enough, either you will bring people to a place where, like, hey, I hold that value too, and we're having a genuine policy disagreement about something that is frankly pretty nuanced about the how, or you reveal that the emperor has no clothes and what is actually being expressed is anti-democratic, racist, white supremacy-laden baloney. That's a bit of a hard truth for a lot of folk to swallow, so it's much easier to just continue to take the red pill.
But Maggie, right? It's always frustrated me.
Course.
That we're responding to all of this
feelings.
Yes, and because Republicans lost.
Correct.
Right. Because Donald Trump lost.
Or you even take right whether you're talking about an electoral outcome or even the Black Lives Matter movement, this baloney debate that's going on about CRT, which is never taught. And in grade schools, it can't be taught because CRT requires
Maggie, what do you say to people who say we need to listen to those people and we need to understand why they feel that way?
Well, I understand why they feel that way, and I'm okay with listening to them as long as they're okay to sit there and listen to me and to actually engage in a discussion about the things that deeply matter.
Right.
And again, I believe grounding those discussions in some basic values so we can say we share those values. Now let's talk about what is and is not factual. The fact that everyone actually thinks they're entitled to their own facts.
Yeah.
Makes it impossible to have an informed discussion because they will just dispute the reality. Again, talking to CJ, did Donald Trump not kiss Vladimir Putin's butt? Like, that's a debatable question. Now, granted, I've got an editorial characterization of that. So I asked him the more pleasant question, which was, did you think he presented a position of containment and American strength in the face of Russian aggressions and demonstrated interference in our elections? And he still won't answer that question.
So let me ask you, Maggie, you know, all knowing, how do we ever get back?
Keep hammering away and vote in the primary for Janet Protasiewicz or Everett Mitchell, and be sure that you vote in the general.
It's going to be incremental. There's no way this has gone so far over the edge now that you can't just get it back in one voting cycle.
Correct. And turn off Fox News. Turn off Fox News. Tucker Carlson is feeding you baloney.
You know, Maggie, I finally turned off Fox News.
Never,
I tried.
Never, hashtag never again.
844-967-2789. We'll be right back. At 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with Maggie Dawn, the Dawn of Resistance. Social Security, Maggie. I'm getting mine. We don't know about you.
Not yet. I don't.
Or if it'll be there.
I used to run a retirement plan, right? And I would tell people in my age cohort or less, do you really think Social Security will be around? Now, I did that to try to encourage people to save and save early and engage with their own financial health and wellness.
Right.
But I want to dispel a couple of like myths about Social Security and sort of contextualize things. Two reforms, in my opinion, would return Social Security to, quote, fully funded status. And I want to talk about that construction and that debate that's happening around Social Security will go bankrupt in this sort of accepted line that everybody's now responding to.
Right.
Two reforms would likely fix that and fix it permanently. And the first reform is you raise the cap,
right?
Meaning that FICA taxes apply to it applies to more and more dollars that you earn instead of cutting off
at 140.
I think they've got a proposal to bump it up to 162, but it's like 140, which means if you earn $140,001, that $1 over 140, no FICA tax applies to it. So you raise the cap, it would likely, some estimates, billions in revenue, right? It would fix the funding problem. So that's one option, right? Option two, and again, I think FICA taxes are regressive taxes. I don't think you can debate that. By regressive, I mean they apply to the first dollars people earn and not the dollars that people that are super wealthy earn, right? They cut off. The second thing is whatever cutoff we want to decide as a country, and it would have to be adjusted for inflation, but you say if you retire at whatever the age is, and you have a net worth of over $5 million, $10 million, you don't get any Social Security.
Which, come on, that's not even
I'm going to say the Earl line, right? So those two reforms, Social Security fully funded, right? This hasn't screwed middle-class retirees, has it? Neither one of those things. You make over $140,000 a year. You can probably bear to pay some FICA tax on the next $20,000 that you earn, right? And it's regressive, and that sucks. If you want to introduce a third reform that would fix this, throw out the regressive FICA, actually make it a progressive tax, and have it kick in for only those dollars earned over $140,000. Now we're only taxing the rich people, and we're taxing rich people to pay for retirement benefits for working-class Americans. I say hear to that. All right, those three reforms, Social Security is fully funded, but here's the coup de grace, Earl. We keep talking about this program as if it has to be self-funded. What do I mean by that? I mean that when Social Security was created, it was created so that the taxes collected from workers would pay those retirement benefits, in effect. So what? So what if the FICA taxes aren't enough in 20 or 30 years to pay what's owed in that given year? All the government does is fund different programs and spend money, and most of those programs don't pay for themselves.
Right.
My suggestion to every Republican, like Ron Johnson, that says we need to reauthorize the spending for Social Security every year, which means your grandparents, your aunts and uncles, your parents, when they enter retirement, won't know whether or not they're getting a damn Social Security check month to month under Ron Johnson's Social Security plan, right? All of that is nonsense. right? Because does Ron Johnson propose to pay for tax cuts for the wealthy through some other funding mechanism? Dollars are fungible, right? So when I say it's stupid to say and continue this fallacy that Social Security must pay for itself through its own tax revenues, i.e. the FICA, so we're short some years. Yep, you write a check right out of the federal fisc to pay for that so that middle-class retirees aren't put into destitute circumstances. We have a moral obligation to serve those who have come before for us, tell the greatest generation that you're going to have to reauthorize their Social Security every year. It's hogwash.
You know, Maggie, I'm a guy who gets a Social Security check every month, and I can tell you, it matters.
No kidding.
It changes. It matters to my life. And if that is, and I've earned it.
Correct.
Nobody gave me anything with that. Those are dollars we've earned. They earn handouts. And to see people do and talk about what is happening, I don't understand Republicans, people who are Republicans who are listening to this and knowing that it's going to affect them, and they still stand there silent like mutes.
Because someone has taught them that Social Security will go bankrupt, right? And that it's a dirty entitlement program. Screw you. I'm sorry, but that's ridiculous. Tell that to a pensioner. Tell that to the police and fire unions that Scott Walker protected, whose pensions are some of the richest pensions the state has ever seen.
Right.
Tell them you're not going to fund their pension because it's going to bankrupt the city of Milwaukee, and they will tell you to take a long walk off a short...
You know, Maggie, that these are the hypocrisies that I try to talk about every day on this program, because if they just thought just a moment, right? If they did their own thinking, people on the right, if they could just shut out the rest of that foolishness and say, hey, I'm getting Social Security, or hey, I'm going to be getting Social Security in a year or two. I don't want them messing with my Social Security.
Well, and how about an appeal to this? Social Security matters the most the poorer you are.
No question.
Right? So what value are you expressing when you say we need to reauthorize Social Security every year? You're saying to the poorest, most aged folks in our country who are least able to work, your very ability to live will be subject to political debate every year. Shame on you, Ron Johnson, and Rick Scott, and that other senator from Utah, and the congressman that said that at a fundraiser that acted all appalled when it was said by Joe Biden. Tell me about that, MTG.
And the conservative puppet masters that are on the airways.
Paul Ryan.
Right? And all of these people. But Maggie, you know... Man, time flies when you're here.
It's always a good time.
We'll see you in another week, and it can't go by faster.
The tougher the topic, the more tenacious the talk. I love you, man.
I love you, too. That's Maggie Dawn, the Dawn of Resistance. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. Are you ace?